creative journey. It's easy to get lost, but don't worry, you'll lift off. Sometimes you just need a creative pep talk.
Hey, you're listening to Creative Pep Talk, a weekly podcast companion for your creative journey. My name is Andy J. Pizza. I'm a New York Times bestselling author and illustrator. This show is where we explore what it takes to build a thriving, well-balanced creative practice. Let's go. This episode is for you if you can't seem to stand out in your creative field, or you feel like the competition is too steep or too crowded in your creative world, or maybe you feel like there's a cutthroat, gossipy culture in your creative industry because everyone sees each other as competition instead of community, and you feel lonely in need of creative companions. If you stick to the end of this episode, I'm going to share the hidden place where your attention-grabbing creative superpower might be hiding, and an action you can do today to get one step closer to cutting through the noise in your genre. It's called Wedding Crash Lander, and we're gonna get to that in just a bit. But first, let's talk about the USP principle and why it's essential to standing out. I really needed to rehaul my website. I was talking to some web people, looking around, and I got intrigued by Squarespace's new Fluid Engine, partially because it just sounds cool, but also because it allows you to drag and resize and layer up anything you can imagine. I dove in, rebuilt my site. It's the most me site that I've ever had. I just absolutely love it. Launched it. Got such a great response. Some industry illustration and designy peers even reached out and was like, hey, who coded this thing, man? I'm like, y'all, I did it by myself. No coding with Squarespace's new Fluid Engine. I told him, like, you should go check it out. You're going to be surprised with what you can do. And I built this thing before Squarespace reached out to sponsor the show. So I was like, boom, easy peasy. I was going to tell you about this new site anyway. Go check it out, AndyJPizza.com, if you want to see what I did with it. If you want to try it yourself, make a site that's totally you, where you can build a portfolio, sell content and courses and all kinds of other stuff, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with promo code PEPTALK, all one word, all uppercase. Your next season is looking busier than the last, take something off your plate by putting Factor Meals onto your plate. Eliminating extra decisions can free up brain power for other things like self-care and creativity, and Factor Meals makes eating well streamlined with always fresh, never frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready in just 2 minutes. They have a weekly menu of over 35 options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go, lunches, snacks, and beverages. I like their little vitamin-y shots. They're tasty. I like the spicy one. Head to factormeals.com/peptalk50 and use code peptalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code peptalk50 at factormeals.com/peptalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. The first thing you need to do to find where your creative superpower might be hiding is to become an alien. Let me explain what I mean by that. In the business world, you're going to hear a lot about the idea of USP. Business people seem to love to speak in code like this, USP, MVP, ICP. Magnus, how do they work? What is USP and how does it work? It means unique selling point. Every food chain, tennis shoe, and app needs to have some kind of unique selling point, some USP, in order to justify their existence and have a shot at being the one that the consumer picks instead of the competitor. USP is even more relevant in the creative world because at least half of what it means to be creative is to be different, is to be novel. It means to be unique. But in an age where billions of people are online and creating new things at a rapid pace, and you're competing in a global market, how in the world are you expected to have anything even resembling unique, let alone be unique in a way that's relevant to your audience? Because it's not enough to just be unique. that unique has to be useful in a way that's truly creative and relevant to potential clients, customers, or fans. Sure, anyone can make a song and do a dance that's never been done. But it's not gonna cut it if that originality is so meaningless that we'd prefer to never encounter it ever again. How do you find what makes you different in a meaningful way? How do you find your creative superpowers? This is the challenge we find ourselves facing as creators, musicians, artists, filmmakers, and authors today. If you look around and you can't seem to find anything about what you do that's particularly super compared to everybody else, you may need to find another world to create in. And I don't mean to quit doing the type of creative work that you're doing right now. I just mean going to a different world with that creativity. That's exactly what Cal did. Cal was a regular dude. If you compared him to his peers, they all had the same skills in common, the same strengths, the same weaknesses. Cal was just an average guy. But when he moved into a different world, all of a sudden, what was normal in his old world was super in this world. Because sure, back on Krypton, everybody has heat vision, everyone can fly, everyone can run faster than a bullet, but on Earth, what's average about Kryptonians is a superpower. You see, I'm talking about Superman, Kal-El, as his name was on his home planet. Back there, everybody can do what he does. They have the same potential as he does when he goes to Earth. But on Earth, in this new world, all of a sudden, his skills and strengths are truly unique and they are elevated to a place of superpower. And this is what happens when you can move into a world where not everybody does what you do. So I just got back from a podcasting, radio, audio conference called On Air Fest in Brooklyn. They had me out to MC the live podcasting portion of the fest. And I also got to do a live podcasting session, and you're going to hear some recordings from that at some point in the future. It was an amazing experience because just 2 years ago, I paid to attend that conference. I had the idea of live illustrating my experience as I was going throughout the fest because I realized that unlike the illustration gatherings and conferences that I usually go to, in this world, being able to illustrate wasn't common practice. It was a superpower. My illustrations that I was posting to Instagram stories got the attention of the organizers of the event and landed me a job doing podcast artwork for one of the podcasts they created called America's Dead, all about the Grateful Dead. And it also resulted in them inviting me and bringing me out to this year's event. See, if I was at an illustration conference, live illustrating, taking visual notes and posting them to Instagram stories, I would be one of hundreds of other illustrators doing just that. And I wouldn't have a chance to stand out in the crowd because there are just so many incredible illustrators out there. But if I go do that at a podcasting conference in this different creative world, all of a sudden, what may seem average in one place is super in another, and it was enough to get on their radar and get involved in the event the next time I was able to go. And I think about this a lot, how we all know that we need to have this unique selling point. But when you compare yourself to other illustrators or other musicians or other designers, it can be really difficult to find any meaningful difference or competitive edge when you're surrounded by people that are just like you doing exactly what you do. I have to imagine that Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton, might be dwarfed by the talent in the rap game. Like if you put Lin-Manuel's rhymes up against people like Kendrick Lamar or Nicki Minaj, I'm not really sure that his rhyming schemes and capabilities would really stack up in the traditional rap game. However, he took that experience and that passion and that skill set from what he evolved as a rapper and crash landed onto the planet of theater. And all of a sudden in that space, with an even more specific niche of creating this historical fiction, that's where his thing exploded and rose to the top because he didn't need to be the best rapper in the world. He just needed to be the best rapper in the theater world. And I just saw another similar pattern with Beyonce. Now, who knows? I'm recording this at a point before she is releasing her full country album, so I don't know how that's going to shake out. But what I do know is that Beyonce just became the first black woman to ever hit number one on the country music charts. And obviously, Beyonce is going to stack up pretty much against any other musician in whatever world she decides to play in. However, it's possible that choosing to position this album in a surprising creative world and crash land in this other world, that it enabled reach and impact that weren't possible by sticking in her previous lane. So if you don't know the story of Superman, basically here's my basic understanding of it. Superman, aka Clark Kent, was sent in a pod by his parents from a different planet called Krypton. Krypton, back there, he would have been exactly like everybody else. Anytime a Kryptonian comes to Earth, they too have laser vision, super strength, and speed. And if you're not familiar with Superman or you don't get down with that, it's not really my favorite superhero. I'm more of a Dragon Ball Z guy, and it's got a pretty similar story where Goku is a Saiyan and crash lands into Earth as a kid, and he's got a monkey tail, and he's a super powerful being. But later, when more Saiyans show up as he's an adult, they have the same level of strength, or they're actually even stronger initially and also have the monkey tail and can turn into this giant gorilla thing. So pick your superhero. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, your unique selling point is going to be found not by pushing yourself to the extreme, trying to go toe-to-toe with the best to ever do it, but instead to go to new worlds where what you do is already super unique and valuable. So if you're having a hard time standing out, if you feel like your market is incredibly saturated, maybe it's time to quit trying to gain traction by being 1% better than the rest, and instead go find a subculture or a niche where you can be the only person with the skills that you have and really be of service and bring real value to that community by being exactly who you are with the skills that you have right now today. The next thing you need to do to unlock your creative superpower is number two, realize there's no I in team, but there's three I's in individual. So there's no I in team. We've heard that a billion times. But there are three I's in individual. If you want to be seen for the unique individual you are as a creator, you need the three I's that can help you stand out from the crowd. And they are identity, interest, and insecurity. So identity, what do I mean by that? I mean the things about you that are unlikely to change and are core to how you see yourself as a person. So I'll give you some examples for me. So the first one I would say, I'm neurodivergent, I'm ADHD. That's a thing that is a core part of the way that I see myself. And it is something that I have wove into my creative practice on a bunch of levels. Now that's also a community where I've started to connect. So I've been on ADHD podcasts, I've interviewed people that are ADHD and also neurodivergent in other ways, but this is a place where I've planted my flag because it's a big part of how I see myself. It's a big part of my identity. Another big part of my identity is where I came from, which is being Midwestern. Now, some people, their identity might be more about where they live today because they chose that home and that's what they're all about. I still live in the Midwest, so that's still a big part of who I am. You could even go a little bit more psychological with it. You could think a little bit more archetypally, like what type of character archetype do you see yourself in? For me, recently, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of the puer eternis. I've been reading a book about this. It's kind of like Peter Pan syndrome, but there's definitely a part of myself that is very childlike. I have that childlike spark that I've just never lost. I have a real kind of boyish energy in terms of what I think is cool and how I show up in a space. And I've noticed that a lot of my friends have a similar kind of vibe, this kind of never grow up thing. Now, hopefully I can be childlike in my wonder and energy, but not childish in my maturity. But that remains to be seen. It can also look like your favorite things. Like, I'm a pizza lover. That's been a huge part of my creative practice. Now, if you think about your heroes, you're most likely going to notice, even if they abstract who they are on an identity level into symbolism or fiction, it usually has a thread that you can connect back to their identity and their perspective. It's that idea of writing what you know, writing from firsthand experience, even if you choose to transform that into something that is fantastical or otherworldly. So the second one is your interests. So for me, some examples that I think about, places, other worlds that I travel into as an illustrator, as a storyteller, are things like psychology, storytelling, spirituality, video games, movies and acting, and comedy. These are all interests that make me who I am, and there are places where I can go explore and be the illustrator and the storyteller in those spaces. Okay, the last one is insecurity. Now, insecurity, this is the most important one. It's most likely where your superpowers are hiding. Okay, when we talked about Lin-Manuel Miranda, I have to imagine, I don't know for sure, but I have to imagine that as someone growing up with such a grounding in the hip-hop world, that he must have had periods of time where he felt insecure about also being a theater kid. Like, those two things on the surface don't seem to add up naturally. It's not a thing that we saw a lot prior to Hamilton. Now, the thing about that is that the reason why, as a creator, you might be insecure about this thing is because the world has never seen that before. And so many times I talk with creators and they say, well, I'm kind of into this and I'm also into that, but nobody does that in my world. And I'm like, that's exactly why you need to do it. The whole idea is that you would do something that hasn't been done. And it makes sense that the thing about you that keeps you from fitting in the most, the thing that you're most insecure about, would be the most interesting thing to combine with the world that you come from. Again, I'm only speculating here, but I have to imagine a similar thing is true for Beyoncé. Now, Beyoncé has been squarely within the hip-hop community for a long time, but she's from Texas. And I have to imagine that growing up in Texas, that there are some country roots where this feels very comfortable, very relevant, and very related to how she thinks of herself to make this kind of country music. This is ultimately what I think Joseph Campbell is getting at with this idea of the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek isn't about going out and just doing the things that petrify you. That's not really what it's about. The cave is internal. It's the parts of yourself that you know are not in line with the rest of your community. They're the parts of yourself that are considered the shadow, which aren't your dark parts. They're just the parts of you that you would rather downplay, or the parts of you that you have left as orphan. You haven't integrated them into your personality or into who you are publicly. Now, I'd like to just give one little disclaimer here. I'm not saying to shout your deepest insecurities into the void that is the internet. I'm not asking you to go dramatically out of your comfort zone. I'm not asking you to polarize people in ways that are completely meaningless to the work that you want to be doing. But what I am saying is that if you have really core parts of who you are as a person that aren't like everybody else in your creative world, that adding them into your practice might be the secret superpower that helps you launch into a new creative stratosphere. For me personally, these two things, they don't have to be things that are extremely embarrassing or giant insecurities. They can just be things where you're aware that, this is kind of different. This is kind of weird. Two of those for me have been podcasting and business. So podcasting, now I'm a huge podcast nerd, a podcast fan. However, I'm also an artist who really appreciates real art. And there's definitely a sense in which podcasting has a cheap nature or a kind of cheap reputation in comparison to something like radio. Like radio has a history of storytelling, and there's just a lot of respect in that industry for being an established form of creativity. Whereas podcasting has this kind of new, cheap reputation. And for me, I think it was hard in some ways to finally own the fact that I am, in fact, a podcaster 10 years into it. That I would swim in these waters, go to these events, own that as part of my creative identity. And the same goes for business stuff. So I never thought of myself as someone interested in entrepreneurship or business up until I had to think about it as I was trying to make my way as a freelance illustrator. Up until that time, I was doing everything I possibly could to avoid anything to do with business or marketing. But when push came to shove and I had to swim in those waters and read those books and dive in, I realized that there was a lot about that world that I had something interesting to bring to and that I had a lot of passion around. And so creating this podcast was me doing a whole deep dive into two insecurities at the same time. One, podcasting. Two, business. Because I knew I was going to talk about creative careers. I knew I was going to talk about creative practice. I was going to talk about not just the creativity, but also the sales and the relationship to your audience or your clients. And when I did that, I had insecurities about it. But I'm glad that I swam into those waters and combined those worlds and crash landed into these places where what I do isn't common. And you have to be willing to embrace some of those insecurities, some of those interests, and some of those parts of your identity, and unapologetically own that part of who you are. If you need to better understand this a little bit, perhaps start with a list of your biggest influences or your favorite creative heroes, and just try to see if you can find answers for what you know about them in terms of their identity, their interests, and their insecurities. I was thinking about this a little bit. I was thinking about Christopher Nolan, and the first thing came to mind for interests are time and time travel and the science of time. That's a theme through lots of the movies, or dreams. Like, that is kind of what I'm getting at here. So get some of your favorite artists down and see what you can pick out. Without any research, you can probably come up with these three topics and things you can pull out and how they've affected their creative work. Okay, now it's time to put these ideas into practice with our CTA, our Creative Call to Adventure. Your Creative Call to Adventure today is be a wedding crash lander. So you gotta be like Superman in that you're crash landing into a foreign planet, and like the wedding crashers in that you're going to crash an event. So after you have sat down and defined your three I's and categories for each one of those, what I think you should do is just scan through them, scan through these different parts of your identity, interests, and insecurities, and just see which of those has the most energy for you. Which of them hold the most curiosity or interest or passion? Which of them light you up when you get to them? And the next thing you need to do is go find an online workshop or a local event or some kind of gathering, be it a Zoom call or a live on Instagram or something even in real life, and sign up for it. And if you can't afford the more expensive options, find one that you can afford. For me, yes, this looked like a couple years ago, making the trip to Brooklyn and going to this conference. And that was a bigger kind of investment into the podcasting space. But I also have this interest in dream interpretation and Jungian psychology. And just a few months ago, I signed up to a live workshop in my home city at the Jung Foundation that's right here in Columbus, and it wasn't super expensive. And I also signed up to a writing class at the Thurber House here, right in the middle of Columbus. Go seek out, either starting with the piece of these three eyes that has the most energy or more life, or the one where you can find a meaningful event that is in your price range that you can sign up for today. Don't wait. Don't just, you know, sleep on this and think, it's a really good idea. I think it's completely essential to crash land into a different creative world where your powers, your skills, your particular way of being a creator isn't like everybody else. And so take some action on that today. Crash land into that new space. I think you'll be blown away by how refreshing it is when everybody around you isn't just more competition, but people that you can collaborate with, people that can add things to your creative practice, and you can add stuff to theirs, and there's a real mutual appreciation for these very, very different ways of approaching creativity or life. This is one of the things that I have really loved about our monthly virtual meetup for the Patreon backers and the paid Substack subscribers. And it's that this brings together a bunch of people from very different corners of creativity. We have published authors, we have illustrators, we have people that work in the film industry and everything in between. We have people that do gallery shows, people that are just starting out, people that are 10 years in. And it really brings together a whole diverse creative community where it's not a bunch of people competing with each other, and it's even easier to take lessons and be open about all the things that we're learning. So if part of your identity is that you want to have a regular creative practice and part of your interest is this show, our online meetups might be an option for this wedding crash landing. However, I just encourage you to look through your list, find where the life is, find where the energy is, and choose that one. If you are interested in learning more about the meetups that we're doing online, go check it out at patreon.com/creativepeptalk or andyjpizza.substack.com. We are going to meet on the last Monday of every month in 2024. And this one, we're going to have a very special guest, illustrator and past guest of the show, Sarah Walsh. Don't miss it. Go sign up. I'll see you there. Creative Pep Talk is your weekly podcast companion for your creative journey. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza. I'm a New York Times bestselling picture bookmaker and illustrator for clients like Xbox and Apple. I pep talk teams at creative hubs like Warby Parker and Sesame Street, and I make this podcast because for me, it takes a whole lot of creativity just to get out of bed in the morning sometimes, let alone attempt to create a thriving creative practice. This show is just me sharing the things that seem to be helping in case they help anybody else. Shout out to Yoni Wolf and the band Y for our theme music and soundtrack. Huge thanks to Connor Jones of Pinning Beautiful for the sound design and editing the show. Massive thanks to Katie Chandler and Sophie Miller for podcast assistance of all kinds. And thanks to you for listening. And until we speak again, stay pepped up.